Okay, so what we're going to do is, I'm not sure we'll see how long this lasts for, but we're going to try to do some halacha. Okay? So, I figured we'd start with one of the most interesting stories out there, which is Shlomo suggesting to cut the baby in half. Right? Okay. So I'm not exactly going in order. Could be next week I'll go back a little bit, but just thought it's interesting and... let's try it. So basically, what happens is, where is this located? So basically, Simalachim Aleph, Perakim on the middle. So, but the basic context is, Shlomo Aleph becomes king. He's young. Okay, he becomes king at like 12 or so. And I don't know how old he is at this point, but whatever. He becomes king, and there's a dream. We're not going to take this part up. I'm going to kind of gloss over this part. Maybe we'll take it up next week. But basically, he becomes a king, and God asks him, appears him in a dream, and says, what do you want? You got one wish. You know, sounds almost like a genie, you know. Get a wish. So he says, I request, I want Chachma. Chachma to judge the people. Okay, because after all, it's a big nation. I want Chachma. So, okay, God says, very good, that's a great request. Because you asked that, I'm going to grant it to you. And I'm going to grant you other stuff and all that. Okay, so that's basically the background. Okay, which we, you know, needs analysis in its own right. But let's take that as a given. God grants Shlomo Melech great chachma to be able to judge the people. What does that mean exactly? So right after he got it, he woke up from his sleep. And it turns out he, right away, a case came to him. He was very happy that God, you know, was going to grant him the chachma, and right away a case came to him. So the pasuk describes, it's in Pasuk Tazayin, I guess it's a good idea to read through the pasuk. The two Zonos came to the king. It's not clear, Zonos. Rabag actually says it means innkeepers. Okay, people who sold food from like Mazon. Zonos. Not the standard meaning of it, but that's the way Tirgum also translates it. So it seems like legitimate. So these two women came to the king. Vatamod lofanov. And they stood before him. Please. Okay, so one of the women said, please. I and this other woman were living in one house. And I gave birth with her in this house. So I had a baby. Maybe I'm Shlishi on the third day to my birth, right? When my baby was, whatever, 3 days old. And she also. You see where I am? And we were together. Ein zar itanu v'abayis. There was no stranger with us in the house. Zulos yishtayim anachnu v'abayis. Just the two of us were in the house. Nobody else. Okay. So far so good. Ayamas ben ha'isha hazos laila. In the middle of the night, this other woman's baby died. This other baby's son died. Asher shachu alav. She slept on him. Okay. She rolled over on top of him or whatever it is, and she killed him. So the baby died. Okay, why is that? That's relevant. The Mefarshim say that's relevant because Radak says is that the baby was not sick. Because if the baby were sick, if the claim of the baby was sick, so then we could ask the neighbors, hey, was there a sick baby in the house? Which mother was just carrying around the sick baby or something, you know, something like that. But it was like a SIDS, or, you know, like overnight, it just, you know, in the middle of the night, she ended up dying, and, you know, and the baby died, and that was it. Okay? So there's no way they could ask anybody. How's anyone going to know? It was the middle of the night, right? So she slept on the baby. The baby had no history or anything. All of a sudden, the baby just died. But fine. But and she got up in the middle of the night. But tigachas v'niyamatsli, and she took my son. I was sleeping. And she put my baby in her lap, in her thigh, whatever. And she took the dead baby and put it in with me. So I woke in the morning to nurse my son, and he was dead. But then I looked at him, right? At first, I guess, there was a fright. You don't necessarily want to look. She, you know, she's frightened. But then, and she really looked. And it wasn't my son, which I gave birth to. Just give me one second. Hello?
I thought it was just like, you know, I want to, maybe, and then I don't know.
You'd feel it, you'd wake up.
I feel like you're so exhausted when you're sleeping. You're sleeping now.
I don't know. Or body next to you, and then all of a sudden it's right. It feels like cold, you know?
Okay. Sorry. Okay, sorry so late. Yeah, okay.
Okay, good. So it's fun. So it says, so I looked, right, in the morning, she looked more carefully. And this wasn't the kid that I gave birth to. Turns out, right, she recognized it. Now the other woman said, lo, no, my son is the living one, and yours is the dead one. And then the first one responded back, lo, kibanechames, it's your son which is dead, ubaniachai, it's my son which is alive. And they were arguing so before the king. So the king responded, okay, you'll see this doesn't seem to be a very wise response. He just says, zosomeres, this one says, debaniachai ubaniachames, this is my live son and this is your son died. Vizosomeres, lo, the opposite. Right? He just totally repeated what they said, it seems, right? I mean, he's just reiterating the effect there. That's all learned from here, that a dayan is supposed to do that. A judge is supposed to, before judges, okay, let me just get, you're saying this, you're saying that. Okay, but it seems like a little bit repetitive. He's just kind of, but whatever. Yomar Malach, fine. So basically he's saying, what am I going to do? How am I supposed to, look, you're saying this, you're saying that, what am I supposed to do? You got one baby, you got two mothers both saying like that, you know? So Vayomar Melch kechuli charev, bring me a sword. Vayvio charev nei melch, they brought a sword. Okay, if you want a sword, I wonder. Vayomar Melch, king said, gizru aseyelad chayla shnayim. So let's cut the living child in half. Usnu zechatzi lachas vechatzi lachas. They're fighting about after all. They're fighting about the same object. What are you going to do? You might as well just cut it in half and give them each half. Sounds reasonable. Okay. So then the woman who had the living child said to the king, why? Because her compassion was aroused about her child. Please, give her the living child. And don't kill him. Okay? Give it to her. Right, she had so mercy, look, better let her have her than her kid being killed. Right, that's a reasonable response. Vizoso meras, and the other one responded, you think the other one would say, okay, fine, I'll take it. Right, the other one says, gam li gam lach lo yeh, both I nor you will get it, gazoru, cut it.
That's,
I know, they don't tell you that part. Yep. Get, cut it. Very good question. On the surface, from the reading of the Pesukim, no, we don't. We're going to do the Mitzudos. David, who claims that he knows. And part of your question, how does he know? But on the surface, it's a good question. Right? There's nothing in the Pesukim which, I don't see anything in the Pesukim that clearly indicates it, right? Mm-hmm.
I see, is the one, they do switch the order when my baby's alive one and yours is the dead
okay,
one.
Okay, good.
Your baby's the
okay.
Live one.
I mean, the woman who argues, who's apparently the liar, saying, We don't know. One of them says b'niachai b'neichames, another one says b'neichames b'niachai. Right, that's a good pickup. They switch the order, right?
And that's the part he repeats.
And that's exactly what he repeats, exactly. So one of them says my child is alive and yours is dead, and the other one switches the order. Yours is dead and mine is alive. Okay. Okay. So that's interesting.
Not clear if that is or isn't relevant, but it's a good pickup. Okay.
I always thought it was weird, like, it doesn't require that much compassion to say don't cut a baby in half. It just doesn't make any sense,
right,
even to solve the problem.
Exactly.
Even if it weren't a baby that was at stake here, it was, like, some object.
Right. Well, it depends what the object was, well.
Mostly, though.
Right. I mean, it's a pile of grain, then.
Okay, but...
Right. Any whole object. Right. It's the plan sounds ridiculous. Right? It just sounds like a crazy plan. Who's going to believe that for a second?
But then, you know what?
He's actually going to do that?
A lot of people teach you when you're that... plan was devised in order to elicit one of their compassion. But
right,
even that doesn't make sense because they're human beings. Like,
right. They're human beings, first of all.
Nobody would want to see a baby cut in half.
Right. But not only that, but then one of them actually does say that. That's what's so
right,
crazy about it. It's like the first thing you'd say is who in their right mind? Of course they're going to say that. But then you see it's not true. One of them actually says, God, got it. Right? Let's start. Okay, that doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay, so what happens? Vayana melech vayomer. Tinu la zilechai. So the king answered and said, give har the living baby. Hames los misu. Don't kill him. He imo. She is the mother. Okay? Vayishmu kol yishol sa mishpat asher shafar hamelech. The whole Jewish people feared the judgment, the nishpat that the king did. Vayiru mimnei hamelech. They were fearful. From the king. Because they saw that he had the wisdom of God in him, lasos mishpat, to do justice. And the Radak explains, means they were fearful because then they can't get away with anything. Right? No one's going to, normally people steal, they know they get away with things. But here it was the middle of the night. One woman steals another woman's baby, privacy of no one could see it in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden the king just figures it out and gets, you know. So now you're going to be afraid to, you know, to do crimes. Okay, that's the end of the back. So, that's the main problem. Main problem is, I guess, what you're asking, is that, what kind of plan is this? Sounds like a little crazy, right? How is this really going to test? And why is the other woman actually saying, God, got it? Sounds a little bit, I mean, it sounds like apparently it was a good read by Shlomo Malch because it actually worked. One woman actually said, save it. The other woman actually said, cut it. And even if the woman would say, cut it, after the first one says, let her have it, wouldn't you think she'd say, okay, fine? Like, well, why is she saying, now cut it? Yeah, Sarah?
I have another question. How could this whole thing show how Shlomo had, like, God's spirit? And like, it doesn't seem to be that he was that smart to think of this idea. I mean, it's kind of a crazy idea, but it doesn't seem to be that. But
okay.
Yeah, especially when this is showing all the Israel about how
right.
You could think of things right. That would be a way of showing his wisdom.
Okay, I mean, this is really so wise.
This prevents people from, like, all theft and fraud, like.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, I guess maybe we'll be in a better position to answer the question, though, once we understand the case a little bit. But, yeah, it would be nice if at the end we could get some insight into how this is like the model which, you know, convinced everybody that he's great. Yeah. Okay.
One time I heard this idea, I bet it's like the Matsudo stock or something, but that just shows you how painful it would have lost her child.
Mm-hmm.
That she could not see the other one with her live child, so she would rather see
right.
The child die than have to continue to watch this one with her life.
Right. Okay, good. Okay, so let's look at Mitzvahs. Okay? That's good. He does say that. Okay. So he says like this. Two interesting Mitzvahs Dabin. Mitzvahs Dabin Chafei. You don't have this, but you could just start. So, Gezoru. Mitoch Divrayim. This is, you'll see, this astounding claim by Mitzvahs Dabin. On Chafei. Mitoch Divrayim Hikar HaMelech B'Chachma So Hadin Emi. Through his Chachma, the king determined who, with his chachma, who is really correct, who it really belonged to. Okay, the Amar la Yoshim Lefanav Shekinu Emes, and he told the people, he like whispered to the people near him, this is the right one. Okay, Shehaachas Ganva Hayelet Hachai, that actually this is a true story. That actually the other one stole the living baby, right? Because that's the claim. One woman walks in with the baby, and the other one says, hey, listen, this woman stole my baby, right? So he's saying it's true. He told the people in front of him. Ula ames devara of asa b'china. And he only did the test in order to prove his words, prove it to everybody else, so everyone would know that he was right. But he really discovered it, determined it already, just from their words. Now, that's pretty interesting. And how could he know it from their words? What did they say? And how does Mitzvahs David know that? Right? Okay, let me read a little further. Right, you hear the problem? It's interesting. Okay. Now already it starts to make him sound a little smarter. If we could just work it out how he could tell, but okay, Gam Li Gam Lach. Now he's gonna explain. He just explained why she said kill the baby, right? He says, Heyos etzim kavanosa hoisa labal tisma chaverta b'misas bina. Her essential intent was not to get the baby, but was to make sure that the other woman would not be happy about about her son dying. Kima la lahanik ben ishacheres. What does she need a nurse? Someone else's baby. Okay, in other words, what's he saying? He's saying that she doesn't, what's she stealing someone else's baby for? Why would she do that? Who's going to steal someone else's baby? It's annoying to nurse someone else's baby, right? It's difficult to nurse your own baby, but it's something that you do because it's your baby and you want to nurse your baby. But people don't go around stealing another one's baby to nurse. I mean, if anything, anyone who would do it would be someone who's barren, who couldn't have any children. But someone who is able to have children, so even if their baby dies, why would they steal a baby, have another baby? Look, you want one right now, but I'll just wait. You want to really bring up and nurse the whole process of someone else's baby? It just, why would she do that? So she's saying this, and this is what you're saying, is that essentially what she could not handle, they lived together, they were roommates, alone. She cannot handle that. She was going to have a dead baby, and this woman is going to have a live baby, nursing her baby, taking care of her baby, and she's going to be the mother without the baby, and she's going to be the mother with the baby. She did that, just she couldn't tolerate that. Like, the baby's going to start walking, and start talking, and start this, and this, start that, and all these things, and she's just going to be sitting there crying, you know. That she couldn't handle. So he says her main intent was not so much to take the other woman's baby, as much as, it's not so much to get the baby, as much as to deprive this other woman of the enjoyment of the baby. And therefore, Ubishama Shatsiba HaMelech LaMisa, and when she heard that the king said, kill it, Ratsa Yosef Bazash, she was even happier. Kiyoz Lotis Machol Chaverta, because then the other woman will be happy, Vihilotonic Benisha Harrison, she won't have to nurse the other woman, so she gets the best of both worlds. Basically, she'd rather there be no baby. She doesn't want a baby. Look, her baby's dead. That's it. She doesn't have a baby. She just doesn't want the other woman, so kill it. That'll be best solution. She wouldn't actually go and kill herself, apparently. That's the person who can't do. But if the king's going to do it, great. She'll jump on that. King knew, he realized with his seichel, his intelligence, he realized beforehand that she would want that. That's what she'd rather. So that's why he threw it out there. Because otherwise, what kind of test is it? But the test is because he knew she would jump on that opportunity. Yeah.
Where are the men?
Men?
Maybe the men that got them pregnant aren't the men that...
It's not clear. Good question. I guess
Are they living alone?
I don't know. It depends what zonos means. But if there's prostitutes, then whatever. Who knows where they are. But otherwise, I don't know. It's not clear.
No, but if they're innkeepers too, then job somewhere. Like,
yeah, who knows?
Keeper work.
Yes. Yeah, a good question. Apparently they're not there. There's such a thing as, you know. Yeah. Okay. So, that's interesting. Okay? Is it? Is that it? So what's he saying? That she really... It still sounds funny, though, right? It still sounds funny. That she actually wants to kill the baby and... It sounds crazy. I know, but it's hard to, you know... You gotta commiserate with a grieving mother.
Not something she would say. She's just saying, you know...
Yeah,
that,
right.
You know, she'll want to throw it out there, and she... Mm-hmm. You know, he threw it out there. She said, okay, it must be normal. And she, you know, picked up on it.
Right, right. Exactly. I don't think he's saying
it's...
Right,
yeah, it's like unconscious. Exactly. A part of her really wishes the baby would die. She wouldn't actually say such a thing. But if the king, with his sword, looks like he's going to do it, in the instant, it's like she jumps on that option. Yeah, you don't see how absurd it is. Right, you don't see how absurd it is because it's like what you want. And if you want to, like, trip someone up, you throw something at them that they really wish for, and maybe they won't notice how absurd it is because that's what they want, you know? And they say, oh, right, you got me. So that's kind of, it sounds like what he's saying, that's what he did. He knew that would get her. That was the plan. The plan was to throw it out there and let her jump on it, and it worked. Even after the first woman said, don't worry, you know, let her have it, Still, she just jumped on that opportunity. She just saw that and went right with it. And there's like a certain superficial sense of justice to the thing. If you don't think for too long, you realize, oh yeah, I guess we're fighting, might as well split it in half. You know, like, you gotta not be thinking rationally, but for a second it sounds like...
The
other one said it first.
Was the second response.
Yes, that's true, but it's still quick. I mean, the whole thing is quick. And you got to also realize, is like, the sword, the whole thing has got to be a strong emotion. That's, I think, part of what he was trying to do, is that if you want to discern, like, the problem is you have a liar and a truth teller here, right? And liars are good at lying. That's what they do. They lie, right? So how do you figure out right? Who's telling the truth and who's lying? Forgetting about him, so that was the first point, so hopefully we'll get to that after. Let's assume he didn't know yet. So the way you discern between like a faker and a not faker is that you could see a fake out is like a thought out plan. Think out a plan. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. But like instincts, like reflexes and instincts, you can't really fake out. Okay, you can, there's a plan that someone has to think out what they're going to do. But like the true, like the instinct of a mother jumping at the fright of the sword over her baby. Even if the other woman, every person, would not want such a thing, but the speed at which the mother is going to jump is, unfakeable. It's too quick. It's like an instant reflex. The mother like shrieks by the sword over her baby, and even if another person be bothered, but it's different. It's like the, and you can't fake it because it's too fast. Like reflexes are super fast. Like the maternal instinct is just the mother's gonna jump faster than any faker could. The faker has to think, oh, what's he trying to do? What am I gonna do? What's, you know, it's just, it's too quick. And not only that, the other woman's instinct, what he did is he knew that if you take a sword, which is a frightening thing and it's a surprising thing, it's shocking. What's the king doing? He's taking a, you know, and says, let's cut in half. It's like that's gonna throw them both off. They're gonna both drop their guard and they're gonna let out their true feelings. And true feelings of one was, you know, save the baby, the true feelings of the other one was cut the baby. You know, but he knew how to do that. How to really set up the proper situation that will discern between the truth of the, you know, the truth teller and the liar. Because you can't just talk to them because a good liar is good at lying. So it's not gonna work. So that's what he orchestrated.
Robin Peter?
Yes.
If this situation has to be set up and it has to be very fast, and once Shlomo Melch has done this, he can never use that tactic again, because once the word spreads, then he would never be able to use that again, right?
Right, correct. I mean, not this particular thing. Well, I don't know. It's a good question. It's a good question, actually, you're asking. Because,
When would he use it again?
No, well, there's two things, two questions you could be asking. One is, like, if another two women come in with a baby, could he use that again? That's unlikely to happen. But you're just talking about the general tactic of throwing them off by faking out some sort of a solution. Right? That's what you mean, Ayala, right? That was Ayala, right? Right? I assume that's what you mean. Something more generic. It's like a generic plan, which could be replicated. And, like, the question is, could you use that again? So I would think is, first of all, maybe yes, because the nature of the plan is you're evoking a reflex, and you can't, like, you know, you can't, for instance, you say to someone, don't blink, and you punch them towards the face. You tell them you're going to do it 100 times, they're going to blink it anyways. It's just, you can't fake these things. So, I mean, even if the person thinks in advance, I don't know, maybe if the person's on guard in advance, maybe they could respond, you know, like a good actor. Maybe he could do something like that. But it's always a little bit different. He could switch it up. And, like, I assume this wasn't the only tool in his bag of tricks. Like, this is just an example, a prime example that was, you know, that worked out. It's trying to give you some insight into his chachma. This is what made him famous and got him going. But it's a derech of thinking, of on your feet. How could I... apparently he was a master at how could I discern who's telling the truth, who's lying, who's, you know, how could I get to the bottom of things? So this is one example, but presumably, you know, it would be nice if we had more examples to show but we don't, you know. So, you know, it's not clear if you could fake this kind of a thing because of the fact that it's a reflex, you know, and it's like really getting down to the core instincts. Faking is more what your mind does. Your instincts don't exactly, they're just natural. You can't, you almost can't respond. And if it's quick enough, and the sword is drawn about that, you know, it's like you don't, it's too quick, in general. Yeah. Okay. So far so good, right? So that's pretty smart, I think. But seems like Mrs. David thinks there's more to it, because he seems to think this is just his task, his proof to everybody. But this isn't actually what he figured out. He actually figured out somehow from their words. Right? This is enough, you know. It's not clear how he knows this, though, right? Well, first of all, how did he figure out from their words, and how does he know?
It's really crazy if all would, say this if he didn't know it for sure would work. Because, like, I mean, it's possible that he really could end up having to kill his baby. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the myth, I was assuming like you wouldn't actually kill babies, we had to know apart.
But let's say you were the other way. Someone's lying, and someone's telling the truth, right? So let's say it were, he's claiming that the way it was is that the woman actually stole the baby, right? But let's say it were the other way. The woman didn't steal the baby, right? So then what? So then really the mother is holding her baby, and the other woman is just making up this fake story, right, in order to get the baby. So then why wouldn't it work? Wouldn't it be the same thing? As he takes the sword, the mother's going to shriek, the other woman's going to say, got it. Right, like why wouldn't it, no matter, whichever way it is, it should work, right? But you're thinking in a good direction. Go read. He says it's from their words, right? So what'd they say? Not much, right? One thing they said is what Rachel pointed out. Right, is to switch the order. Could that somehow be telling? No. And who's who? Actually, let's just see who's who in the order, because that's a little bit of a clue, because the Ritzvot tells us who's who. So it says that the one who comes in making the claim is telling the truth. So it means the woman actually did steal the baby, right? So then what happens? So she says the way she stole it. And then the other woman says, no, my son is alive. This is the liar. My son is alive and your son is dead. And the truth teller says, no, your son is dead and my son is alive. Right? Liar says, my son is alive, yours is dead. Truth teller says, your son died and mine is alive.
I think it was actually called, this is my live child,
dead
right.
One.
Right. Walked in opposite.
Opposite. You're saying that it works out, but why? And then the other one says, no.
Maybe not. I think, like, that is a story. My daughter, like, this is mine. Oh, like, your baby died, and there's no argument there. It's just like, no, my baby.
I mean, what would be her side of the story? She's just basically saying, though, you're just making this whole thing up. I mean, that's kind of what she's saying, right? I mean, she doesn't really have a story. She just woke up in the morning with a live baby, and this woman's making up the whole thing. So it's almost like, what do you want me to say? So it's not true. Yeah? I kind of hear that. You want to say a story, but at the same time, it's hard to really come up with a story.
It's a little weird, though, that a person not wake up from exhausted at this point, finally sleeping. Yeah.
Well, the question is exactly, you know, she was saying it not in our lap or she was holding it. Not clear, like if the baby's in the crib or something, you wouldn't know. But it's not clear exactly how tightly she was holding it.
It was that there a night this happened? It was like right after.
Oh, no, it's true. It doesn't say when. It doesn't say exactly when. Well, she was born 3 days after, right. One was born three days after the other. But it's not clear how old they were. But you kind of get the impression it was young. Right? That's kind of the feeling. It's not clear, but it's the feeling you got.
Well, it had to be young because the
old. Well, you mean other people would be able to.
You're right.
It seems like they're young. Well, no, the truth is, look, especially if it's young, the neighbors don't exactly get a good look at it, so they get the mother can tell it apart, but no one else knows. That's what makes it more reasonable that they're really young. Because they're living by themselves. Apparently they don't have this big family, they live by themselves, and whatever.
That's not going to be good anyway if you have the real mother living with you and the stolen baby, and you're scared of the stolen baby, and the real mother knows that, you know?
Right, okay.
That's not a good situation to end up with.
And therefore what?
I don't know, it just makes it more complicated.
The real mother knows
it's stolen, and the two of them are living together.
That's not going to work out right. If it does work out, if the plan works out, then you end up living with them.
Gonna kill the other
one.
Every night they're going to take turns stealing it back and forth. Someone's going to move out. This is a friendship which is not going to work out much longer. I guess like she would notice that. You think it would be clear you'd notice it, you'd feel it. I mean, you're kind of sleepy and tired and weak and whatever.
I don't know.
Maybe it's like a...
Like the baby rolled over and...
Yeah, they moved. You move the baby. Look, she rolled on top of her baby and killed it. So apparently, like, you know, not exactly. Right, but I assume that kind of thing happens. You know, they say that don't put babies in bed. You get in deep sleep. People get in deep sleep, especially you just gave birth. They didn't have they didn't have whatever the epidurals or anything. It's 3 days after the whatever. They're young. Babies are up, they're asleep, you know. You're half asleep even when you're nursing them, you know. So apparently it happened, right? So it did happen.
Right.
That wouldn't help, it doesn't help, you're saying, right? If anything, it hurts, but apparently it did happen. Like, if she said that she's lying, then it would have been,
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like it should be, like, the opposite, you there is dead.
Okay.
And the one who actually says it is
I mean, the one who's telling the truth.
The one who's telling
should say that or does?
Does. He does. But
okay, what should she say?
That her baby's alive and other person's dead. Okay. Like the order, I'd say that my baby died first.
Okay, good. Okay. Now the liar would say, how about on the liar side, what would she say?
The opposite, I really do. I feel like she'd be like, no, yours is dead and mine's all trying to prove.
Okay.
It's like the part that you're trying to prove the most.
Okay. So you guys want to hear something? Okay, so we have two answers. Two different answers. I guess first let's start with the order. Okay, the order thing. So maybe like this, is that... See, what's really the issue at hand? The issue at hand is whose baby died. That's really the event here. The event is the baby who died. Okay. Now, and that's why the one who's telling the truth is saying, your baby died. This whole thing is basically what happened is your baby died. The truth teller is saying your baby died. That's what happened. That's really what we're discussing. Whose baby died, right? That's the event. Who's the one who died? I mean, it results in whose is the living one. But the story is basically, sorry, the baby died. Which baby? Because your baby died. And that's why you're getting all doing this whole thing. Your baby died, and now you started doing this whole plan. You're stealing my baby because your baby died. But the only thing is like this, is that the one who's... The liar is a liar, a grieving liar. Okay? Her baby just died. Okay? Right? Why is she stealing a baby? Altogether, right? So basically what happened is her baby just died. And she's like, in a certain sense, like in denial. It's like she's trying to like make it go away, to pretend like her baby's alive, you know? In a certain sense, she's just gonna like take the other, you know? She can't deal with this fact that her baby died. And she's trying to just like, kind of pretend like it didn't, take another baby. It's just like she's in a panic about her baby dying. So what she comes in and says, what she says, my baby's alive. You know, it's like her focus is on her baby being alive because that's really where she's coming from. She's like, she's motivated. Like, he's picking up the fact that it's really the appropriate thing to be talking about is your baby died, your baby. They should say, no, yours is the one who died. But the one who's instead not talking about the living baby, but first talking about the dead, not first talking about which one died, but saying my baby is alive, he's sensing is the woman who's really in pain that her baby died. And because she's that, she walks in and says, my baby is alive. Like, her focus is on her baby because her baby just died. You know what I mean? So that's why she's, like, focusing on it. But the other one, who's not grieving, she's really just accusing the other person. And she says, listen, your baby died. That's why you're just coming forward here. You're just making this whole thing up because your baby died. Follow me? Yes. Whereas the one who's saying she's focusing on, let's analyze what happened here. Your baby died, and then you stole my baby. But the other woman, she's not focusing on what the issue is. She's just thinking about her baby who died, and she's denying that and saying, my baby is alive. Your baby is dead. My baby. Her main thing is my baby because she's like, that's what she's in the process of doing, is basically telling herself her baby's alive. No, she's trying to. She immediately has her baby gone. She takes the other one. It's like almost like she's pretending like it didn't happen, like switching it and like, you know, like really like faking out the reality and that this is what's happening. So she comes in. My baby's alive. That's her line because she's focused on her baby because her baby really died. So she's saying like the opposite to make it try to pretend and change the reality. She in action is trying to change the reality. My baby's alive by taking it. And in words, she's trying to change reality by saying, my baby's alive. But that's not the issue exactly. The issue is who died. She should say, no, your baby died. That's what she should be saying. She should be saying, the woman tells the story, she said, what do you mean, your baby died? But she didn't say that. She said, my baby's alive, and yours, you know, on your side. And that's what the other one said back. She says, no, your baby died. That's what this whole thing came from. The appropriate response, if she were telling the truth, would be to just focus on the... On which one died. Follow me? Okay. Secondly, we have to think it over. It's a little tricky. But secondly is like this, is that what are the two possible stories here? Either what happened is true. The woman's baby died, and what she did is she stole the baby. The other possible scenario is the woman's baby died. She slept through the night, wait until the morning, came to court the next day, and says, my baby, this woman stole my baby. Makes up a whole story. Right? Those are the two options. Right? That's what Shlomo HaMelech has to decide. Which one really happened? Was there actually a baby theft? Or was there just no baby theft, just a woman decided to try to steal a baby using the courts? She tried to go to court to steal a baby. Right? Now, it could be some amount of things. It's not a very efficient method of stealing. Okay? Especially not the grieving mother who needs to quickly undo the situation is not going to wait till the morning and come to court and try to get a baby in court. And it doesn't work in court. You don't steal things in court. You don't just go to court and say, oh, that car, that's mine. You stole it from me. Those things don't work. Courts don't work that way. If you want to steal, you steal. If you want to take a baby, take the baby. In fact, especially if like your baby dies in the middle of the night or if then you act quickly. You don't think up a plan to come to court and try to just somehow take another. You can't take things by just claiming without any proof. You just tell a sob story and say that woman. In fact, the general principle in court, like let's say a normal judge, how would a judge really judge this case? Forget Shalom Aleichem, normal judge. What's a judge? What would a judge do in this scenario? Well, one woman walks in, the other woman walks in, they both look in, one's holding a baby. Second, the woman says, she stole my baby, that's really mine. The judge supposed to do. Aragon and Halacha. Yes, exactly. The one is holding it. In America, they say possession is 9/10 of the law. In Halacha, you say, Hamotzumecha Vero Alav Haraya. If you want to take something from your friend, it's upon you to bring a proof. You can't just take something by saying. Everyone would go around to everyone and just say, oh, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. You know, you could steal everything that way. You just can't. In a court, the one who has it is the one who has it. And if you want to take something from the other person, you have to prove it. So everyone knows that. Everyone knows you're not going to go and steal something by just going to court and claiming it. So it's not a reason what someone else thinking is that what are the two possible stories here? It's reasonable to imagine what happened is the woman actually stole the baby, and that's why she's coming to court and suing her. The other story that basically no theft took place whatsoever. The woman died, the baby died, and in order to deal with that, she thought up a plan that the next day she was going to come to court and try to make up the story. That's not the scenario is of the woman who can't control herself immediately. She just does a quick switcheroo. That's a reasonable story. But the other story is just not reasonable. You know? Now, with that, thinking about that is something very interesting. Now, because Shlomo Melech cannot just say, well, obviously, that woman is correct, and there actually was a theft. Because you can't have a precedent like that in a court. Why don't courts work that way? Why don't people come to court that and steal things? Just say that, yeah.
As much as it can seem one way, it's not definitely true.
Right. First of all, it's true. And the reason why people don't come to court to steal things is because courts don't listen to claims like that. I mean, that's why people don't come to court in general to steal things, because courts throw out cases like that. Now, someone else can't just say, okay, you know what? I'm going to believe the person who says that. You know. That's not a precedent you could set in a court. It's something which, although he may sense that societies don't work this way and you don't have people coming into court to steal people's things, you can't just set a precedent in a legal system that I'm going to give the baby to this woman without any proof. Even if he senses that she's right, you can't do that. The society, you know, he's a judge, he's a king and he's a judge, and people are going to look at him and say, that's crazy, she didn't have any proof, she's just taking the baby. So even though he may know it's right because of either one of these two things, he can't just do that and get away with it in a way that people are going to look at it as a fair system. So he knew he had to make a method which would prove it. So what he did is he first of all discerned which is correct, but then he also knew part of what a judge has to do is to create law and order in the society, which is dependent upon the appearance of the fact that he's doing justice, not only the actuality of the justice. So that's why he designed this test, which is in line with, you know, he basically studied, thought into their psychology and into what's going on. Yeah, that if he does this test, it will work. Right? So it's like, it's interesting. It's like a judge, it's not enough just to figure out the truth, but it has to be reasonable to lie in a society. You know? That worked. People saw that. It's interesting that it's still not clear how does Mr. David know. Could just be Mrs. David himself figured out that it was saying that someone else did. Because sense, you think into it, you realize. But it's not clear if he holds it has to be that way, you know? Seems like a reasonable test anyways. I don't really see. The only thing I thought is, like, I'm not sure, but, like, if the woman actually stole the baby in the middle, she's, like, very emotional. She's the one grabbing the other person's baby. As opposed to the woman, if the woman made up the story, then it's more like a thought-out woman. So it could be that he thought that the plan wouldn't work of the woman saying, cut the baby in half. I go cut it. If it worked because the woman was like under a strong emotional thing, then she went and grabbed the baby and he knew it worked to take the sword and, you know, she'd say she'd go along with it. But it could be, he held, that if the woman were the other way, you know, the woman just was like a more of a thought out plan, then she wouldn't fall for that trick. She wouldn't go for it, you know.
Possible then give the other person or anything then he
did. Exactly. Right. Given that she herself is coming in to make a thought out plan, so then maybe she would be on the ball and she'd be able to do that, as opposed to it was the other way, that the woman's not coming thinking out a plan, she's just grabbing the baby and stealing and fighting, you know. It's like under a strong emotional thing, it's not thought out, then he's felt it's much more likely he's going to be able to frazzle her and be able to get her to say, cut it. You know, he knew that was really going to work. It's interesting, it's like the combination of the two things is what he did. First of all, that she, the mother, jumped quickly first, and also the other woman said, go and cut it, you know. Both. Yeah. Okay. Any questions? So, is it clear that, do you still have that question? Is that why are people so moved by the story?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it kind of makes sense now, right? Okay, and it's not clear this is the only time. I mean, presumably he did further repeat performances, but like this is kind of the first one kind of got him, you know? People like realize. And I think what's amazing about it is like that idea of how he was in private. No witnesses, nothing whatsoever. It's like an impossible case. Impossible case to solve. Witnesses doesn't know anything. It's just, he doesn't know. Two random women, equal women, come in and tell the story of how he's supposed to do it. What was a woman going to think in the darkness of the thing? She steals the baby. How is that ever going to be decided? And all of a sudden, the smart king somehow figures. Imagine the thieves around the country are getting nervous. You know, okay, so what I'd like to do next time is to more. This was Shlomo's Chachma. With to discern this. So the backstory is when God gave him this Chachma. The beginning of this parak is like kind of that dream and that whole, you know. So maybe we could try to analyze that next time. Okay? Any questions there on the phone?